we have been in our series of passing the baton of our faith, and sharing with others what we have learned through the Word, what we have learned through experiences and our walk with Christ. And so just as it is important of us to pass on the baton of our faith, our baton of our faith that Jesus saves, we also have to be prepared and ready ourselves to learn to receive. Jacob, go ahead and we'll just pass that baton over. We have to be willing to receive. You know, he's going to pass it to me. Yeah, thank you. And we have to be willing to receive. And this is an important part in what we're going to share today. Because a lot of people are ready to pass on. But there are some people that, go ahead, pass the baton. They just don't want to. Well, I got other things to do. And just drop it. And then all of a sudden, it gets dropped. And we miss out. And that's an important thing. So God wants us. I'm not going to drop it this time. Thank you, Jacob. So passing the baton of our faith. And so I have a quick video to share with you. And it's a humorous video, but it's to point out that there is a goal. World Cup just happened back in June. And there were many of amazing goals that were made. But there is a goal in our Christian walk. There is a goal in mentoring. And that's the title of my message today. The goal of mentoring. Let's go to that first slide. The goal of mentoring. There is a goal in our mentoring. And let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The goal of mentoring. See? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1. Well, I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. And I'm reading through the New King James. So you can follow along. It says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He's writing him a letter, and he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Everyone say, preach the word. This is what he says. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Those of you that write notes in your Bible, just write 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, because we find something similar there in that part of the verse. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll have itching ears, not because they didn't bathe, but they'll have itching ears because they want to hear what they want to hear. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful, beware in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You see, Paul's charge to Timothy is given at the conclusion of his last letter to Timothy here. If you remember in 1 Timothy chapter 1, there was an instruction to Timothy, and it was to teach no other doctrine than the one that I've taught you, Timothy. No other doctrine, meaning no other teaching other than Jesus, other than that he died on the cross and God raised him from the dead. Don't teach another doctrine. And then he says, don't give heed, don't listen, don't give time, don't give your ear to fables. And religious false tales. Don't give heed to those. This was the reason why we find here in verse 3 that people, in verse 4, that people will have itching ears. They'll heap up or gather for themselves certain teachers that teach another doctrine, and they will turn aside to fables. You see, when you turn to other things other than the Word of God to dictate how to live your life, you too will turn to other fables, other falsehoods, other false beliefs. It's the Word of God, the doctrine of God that we ought to adhere to. And this is what he was encouraging Timothy to do. He said, I charge you. Then he says, preach the Word. This was the reason why. In verse 2 and verse 5, we see the goal of Timothy's ministry. To equip believers, to train, to build people, to follow you, just like you've been following me, Timothy. This is what you ought to do to others. It is to do more than just build churches. Timothy was not in this place just to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and to say, hey, I built 6 churches. That's not what it's about. It's about building the church, the active body, the people, building them up, training them, encouraging them. Listen to the word. Don't turn away from to any other doctrine other than the one that I've taught you, other than the one that we've been learning through Jesus Christ. You know, as we discussed about running a relay, actually, I shared video of the 4x100 and this certain team, the University of Houston. And they didn't win. They weren't expected to win. But because of some new coaches that they received in 2017, they won the college NCAA championship for the 4x100. And then in 2018, they repeated. They did this because they worked as a team. You see, for every team in a relay race, the goal is the same. Regardless if you're from Georgia, the College of Georgia, or you're from this high school or that high school, the goal is the same: to be what? The first to pass the finish line. I don't think any relay team is focused, trains, and equips one another to be last. Nobody does that. They equip themselves, they train, and they work together to be the first team to pass that goal, the finish line. Now, unless if they choose to never practice, they choose to never prepare, they choose to never work as a team, how can they expect to be first if they're not in unity, if they're not preparing themselves? You know, this past week, Shannon and I, for some of you know, some of you don't know, you kind of know, but we went on a cruise, and there was a blessing of how we were able to go on this cruise. It was all God, because a year and a half ago, we went to a district council conference, and there was a gathering of people, and they were going to have some, you know, snacks and, you know, some soft drinks, and they were going to have door prizes. And, well, I like snacks, but I also like door prizes. And so Shannon's in a changing Jude, and I'm waiting for her, and I'm like, man, she's probably talking to somebody, and, you know, she's got to hurry up because this little gathering is going to be over soon. So finally she comes out, and then we go, and I'm like, you know, there might be some snacks left. So we walk in, and we're the last ones. And they say, hey, come on in. And we're like, no, that's okay. We'll just sit in the back row. Like, no, you don't understand. We're about to have a raffle for a prize. And you really want to be a part of this. So they gave us a ticket. And I wrote my name. And I wrote Shannon's name. I gave it to them. We're the last ones. And there's about 15 people already there. And so the guy puts our tickets in there. And, you know, I see him do this, you know. And then he picks up a ticket. And it's ours. And we win a $1,000 gift certificate for a Royal Caribbean cruise. And I was just like, and so when they pulled out our ticket, the people that were already there, of course, some of them, they were just joking, I think. No fair. They just got back. They just came in and they won, you know. And so, but, you know, it was a blessing of the Lord, and we were able to go. And it was a great time of us to just relax. And there was a time for prayer, time for me to start a new book. And so I'm not writing, but I read a new book, and I'm not there yet to write a book. But the one thing that the Lord taught me during this week is he was causing me to see and allowing me to listen to some things about the crew on the boat. I mean, every person, those of you that have been on a cruise, you could probably attest to this. I mean, it was their desire and such effort on their part to do their job very well, to treat every passenger. And I learned that you're not guest. You're not a customer. You're a passenger. You're a special passenger. And their acts of service towards every passenger was top notch, 5-star. And it was amazing because even when you sat down to go eat, I was just sharing with the Browns. I mean, they even grabbed the napkin and put it on your lap. And I was like, whoo, all right. You know, I'm somebody this week, you know, I'm somebody special. But in doing so with such genuine, friendly service. And God was just causing, it was just weird because as I saw what some of them were doing, even not even to me, but to other passengers, I mean, it was like God was just highlighting. He just grabbed a big, huge highlighter and highlighted it so that I can see what they were doing, what was going on, and I was being able to listen to what their conversation was. And God was just pointing some things out. They all had a goal. And the goal was to make sure that every passenger had the best and wonderful vacation cruise experience possible. They did it together. And it was only for 4 nights and 5 days. That was it. So then the Lord started to bring some questions to my mind, and I started to repent. Because I began to see what the Lord was asking me, and He was revealing to me some discrepancies in our ministry. I mean, we don't have you for 4 days and 5 days, and then we don't ever see you anymore. For the great majority of you, praise the Lord, you've committed for Hidden Treasures to be a place of worship. But after that, you gotta take ownership in what God is calling you to do. He's not just calling you to just, you know, find a certain chair in a certain row and that claim that spot to be your spot and then that's it. Where you come and you shake hands, you say hi, you come and be a part of a dinner right after the service and then that's it. There's more to it. There's got to be a goal. There's a goal in mentoring. And on this cruise ship, there was a goal to make sure that every passenger had a top-notch experience. And they all worked. You know what? This reflected on the captain. This reflected on the leaders of every department. Because they all, I mean, even the person, the stateroom attendant, the attendant that was working on our room, even when we left, I mean, it seemed as if, you know, every time we came back in, we had fresh towels. Our bed was made. And I mean, it was just like top notch. Then the Lord just caused me to just get their names and talk to them. So there was George. There was one waiter. His name was Kumar. We weren't even at his table. On the next 2 days later, he came up to our table. We're not even in his section. He came up just to say how we were doing, how we were enjoying our cruise. And for some of you might be thinking, oh, he was just, you know, he was just trying to suck up, trying to get a tip. We didn't tip him. We tipped another waiter, but I mean, we just had a good communication while we were sitting in his section and he came back. I mean, that really made me feel special. So special that the Lord was saying, Rick, how well are you pastoring in your church? And how well are you encouraging the congregation to follow? I mean, Paul was encouraging Timothy, do what I have taught you, and I challenge you and charge you to pass it on to other people. So God was just saying, Rick, how well do you think you're pastoring this church? You and Shannon are pastoring this church. I was like, Lord, forgive me. And He just started showing me some things. And some things that, some ways that I'm not allowing some of you to take ownership because I still got my hand on it. You know, it's one difficult thing when you're pastoring a church to ask people to do things in ministry. Because our thought is we're being paid for this. God has anointed us to be pastors of this church. It wasn't something, some of you don't even know this, but back in 2002, between 2002 and 2005, I was praying for God to send us back to Chicago, back to my hometown, back where my family was, because I missed my family. And every time I prayed, God did not give me the green light. He didn't give me peace. He didn't open a door. He didn't say, hey, Rick, here you go. This is the time. Do it. Sell your house. Put your house on the market. And I didn't realize. Because in 2009 or 2008, we were asked to pray. We were asked to pray and to seek God to pastor this church. At first, we were like, no, Lord, we're good at youth pastoring. We're not going to pastor. We're good at, no, the Lord began to open doors. The Lord began to speak to us and confirm that we were to be pastors here. So you see, I say all of this because God was just bringing all this to my mind that we're on a cruise ship for 4 nights and 5 days, yet we're here at Hidden Treasures. And for the great majority of you, you've been here for 5+ years. What are we doing to prepare ourselves to hand over the baton of our faith to someone else? And then what are we doing to prepare ourselves to receive the baton from someone? You see, this is the goal. In Christianity as well, that we not just know about Jesus Christ, that He saves, and put Him in our back pocket and tell no one. That's not the goal. It's to tell people about Jesus. I mean, 2 weeks ago, it was awesome because I thank you for those of you that participated, but it was awesome to be able to sit down during that week after I did this to sit down and read some of what people said. And I hope that people did take the opportunity that when they received the baton, before or after they put their sticker on the baton, they read what somebody learned. I learned about His healing and His mercy. Some people learned about patience and trust. Some people learned about reading the word and believing the word. Some people learned about intercession, the importance of interceding for people. We have something to pass on. As Paul was giving this charge to Timothy, he was saying, I have something to pass on to you. And it is something that you are to pass on to others. And that is the goal. And so I learned from the Lord this week. And I've asked myself, Lord, I want to be able to improve on what you've called us to do. It is our prayer to know and to look for ways to improve how to pastor you, how to pastor this church. Likewise, you are to sit down with the Lord and learn how to improve your walk with God so that you can be more effective at passing on your faith to someone else. Do you have a Timothy? Do you have a Timothy? Paul had a Timothy. He had a couple of other people, Titus. He had a couple of other people that he was pouring into. Do you have a Timothy? Are you making yourself available to be a Timothy so that someone can pour into you? No, I got enough information. I don't need more. You're headed for destruction if you have that kind of attitude that you don't want or you don't need anybody to be pouring into you. You're heading for destruction. It is our privilege to pastor this church. It is our responsibility to accomplish this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. He's talking about how Jesus has given ministries, prophets or apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints, verse 12 says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're not going to get there till heaven. So until we get to heaven, we got to equip the church. We got to equip believers. We got to edify believers. And how are we doing that if we're staying close to ourselves and not being apart? I asked this gentleman if I could share a little bit. I'm not going to use his name, but some of you may put two and two together and you know who I'm talking about. But this is a great example. We went on a men's trip and we went to a place that would be nowhere on his radar to eat if he wants pizza. So on this men's trip, we went to CC's Pizza. This guy, he's Italian, and CC's is not one of his top 10 lists of where to eat pizza. But you know what he did? He hung around, stuck around, and ate pizza anyway with us. He had a choice to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go across the street. There's a Burger King over there. I'll meet you guys. I just don't eat that. He didn't do that. This is a great example of it's not about me. It's about fellowship. It's about unity. It's about being with brothers in Christ and just sharing a meal, breaking bread, so to speak, even though it's, you know, CC's pizza. But, you know, breaking bread. I mean, that was a great thing. And I don't even think he realized it at that moment, what was going on, what he was doing. Maybe he did. But this is what we ought to see as Christianity, that Jesus says that we are to be passing on what we're learning. And so I know that I'm not perfect. But man, it sure is good to know that we serve a God who is perfect. He's merciful. He's faithful. And just the scripture that we were reading this morning in Sunday school, it gives him pleasure to work his will in us and through us. And that scripture normally convicts me because I think of the times, the difficult times that I have to deal with my kids. You know, those of you that are parents, you have difficult times dealing with your kids. You ever have a bad attitude in dealing with them? Read Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says that God works in us and through us to do his will for his good pleasure. It pleases God when he's working in us and he's teaching us and we are to be learning something that he wants us to learn. Why do you think it pleases him? Because there's communication, there's fellowship, there's a relationship, and we are learning and we are walking with him. That's what he wants. And this here, we find that Paul and Timothy, they have the same relationship. And Paul is pouring into Timothy and he's telling him, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. There's a word that came to my mind and I had to look at in the dictionary because I really wanted to know the exact definition. Because I began to think, how well do we as a congregation minister to one another and to our guests and to the community? And the word was progress. What is our progress in communicating God's word, God's experiences with one another? What is our progress in ministering to our guests, in ministering to this community? Progress means a forward or onward movement. It goes on. Progress. A forward and onward movement as to an objective or to a goal. Man, we experienced this week on that cruise the progress of every person, even behind the scenes. People that we didn't see, people that were cooking, people that were baking, people that were working on the engines, people that were working on the AC, people that were working with, if there was ever any difficulty with the water pressure. People behind the scenes we didn't even see. Yet they're all working together as a nucleus to make sure that our stay there on that cruise ship was the greatest vacation, that hopefully the greatest vacation ever. We ought to be that. We ought to work together. We ought to see ourselves as one who are passing these batons. Just go ahead and pass it on. One passing these batons, and we're passing these batons one to another, and we're passing our faith. We ought to see ourselves as a body of believers. And it's not just for some, you know, some cruise. This is for eternal life. Now, Shannon and I, we were like ready to come home because we missed our kids. We were ready to come home. But this is for eternity, and sometimes I don't think we really think about how long eternity is. And the progress, again, the onward movement of our faith, the progress of our faith and how we're walking it out, how we're working it through, how we are changing and how God is working in us and through us. I don't believe that we really fully understand this concept. It is for eternity that while we're here on this earth, we are not promised tomorrow, and we are to be constantly working a progress so that we can be ready when that time comes. We breathe our last breath. We stand before God, and God says, "Well done, thou good, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." That's the goal. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Of course, it's talking about Jesus. Just think about how has Jesus demonstrated to you that he is your friend, that he is your best friend, that he has your best interests at heart. If you don't know, just look at the cross. That's a great indication of he has your best interests at heart. He wants you to make it into heaven. The question is how well are we passing our faith? How are we making ourselves available to pass the baton or to receive? I have 2 points for this message, and I was like, Lord, there's got to be another one, but I just have 2 points, and it has to do with the passing. Is there progress in you passing the baton of your faith to others? Is there progress in you receiving the baton of faith from others? You see, we are either mentoring or we are being mentored. And then I thought, Lord, there is also a space and time where we can be doing both. Because we are making ourselves available, we are mature in the faith, and we are able to teach others, but we're humble enough to learn from others as well. That is a great thing to be at. If you are mature in the faith, you've been living for the Lord for a while, you ought to be in this place where you are passing the baton of your faith, passing on, pouring into other people, but you are humble enough to be receiving instructions from other people as well. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Paul says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life." Now listen to this. Timothy, you have carefully followed my teaching. Now, of course, we know it's not Paul's teaching. It's not his idea. It's God's word that he's teaching Timothy. So he says, "My doctrine," he's talking about God's truth. "You have carefully followed my doctrine. You've carefully followed my manner of life. You've carefully followed my purpose. You've carefully followed the faith. You've carefully followed the long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given. Remember I told you to write 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whose good work? God's good work. Verse 10, he says, you carefully followed my doctrine. You know, Paul was stating, I'm watching you, Timothy. I see what you're doing. I'm taking notice of how you're following me carefully, how you're following what I'm teaching you, how you're following what I've been going through. I see what you're doing, Timothy. Many times in our following Christ, if we are not careful, our eyes will be on someone else or something else. And it's a dangerous place to be, because we'll fall into a pit that God doesn't want us to fall into. And it's all because our eyes are not on the prize. Our eyes are not on Jesus. Our eyes are not on God's word. So we have to be careful that we have to be careful so that we will not begin to follow other people or stuff instead of God, instead of Christ. You know, it is so good that gone are the days in my life of trying. Now I'm just being transparent here. Gone are the days in my life of trying to imitate what other churches look like or how they do church. Yeah, I had that problem. When I or when the church didn't match up to what other people or other churches weren't doing, I felt guilty. I felt bad. I felt like we're not doing things right. And you know what? I was in the wrong, because my focus and my attention was on the wrong things. It ought to have been on the Lord. It ought to have been on what God had for hidden treasures. Not what God was doing at Acme Church here or some other church down the road. It had to be on what God was wanting and what God was having for us. Because in that time, it didn't help me in my progress of growing and maturing in my faith. It didn't help me to better or become effective at passing my baton of faith. Because all I was doing, my eyes and my focus was on other people and not on Christ. So you see, it is important that we keep our focus on the right thing. Verse 14, when Paul says, keep following me, continue. It is beneficial for us to walk in the assurance of what we know. Look, it's good to hear a story about how great going on a cruise is. It's even better if you get a chance to go on it on yourself, that you will have firsthand experience. You can hear a bunch of stories from people that have been on a cruise, but man, if you go on one, or even on, if you went to the mountains, or if you went to some vacation resort, if you went there, you'll experience it, and you'll have a better thing to say because you experienced it than hearing it from a word of mouth or two or three other people. So it's important that we be assured of what we are to learn and what we are to know to be true. See, because the lies are going to come. And Paul is warning Timothy, be aware. Beware when the lies come. You know, when we know the truth and the lie comes, we're able to dismiss it right away. If you know the truth, because the truth will set you free, and the devil says you good for nothing, you can shut him up real quick and say, I'm a child of the Most High God, and Jesus died for me, and my name is written at Lamb's Book of Life, so you shut up. We can do what Jesus did when the devil tempted him three times in the desert. Jesus responded with what? A fortune cookie inscription? No, he responded with the word of God. If we know the truth, we'll be able to dismiss the lies. Anybody ever have an earache, a tummy ache? Maybe your throat was starting to hurt. Maybe you started to feel those allergy symptoms. What did your mind tell you right away? Oh, I'm going to be sick. No. Quickly, the Spirit would love for you to listen and know what the Word of God says. By His stripes, I am healed. Look, that's not me saying, that's the Word of God. And I can take it to the bank that, Lord Jesus, thank you that by your stripes, I am healed. My body needs to line up with your Word in Jesus' name. So I don't need to be fearful. I don't need to worry. I don't need to run to the medicine cabinet. I need to learn to run to Jesus, learn to run to His word, know His word and quote it out loud. That is why it's important that we know and be assured of what we are learning from God's word. Is there progress in your walk with Christ when you're putting God's word into action? Well, Pastor, I don't really know how to do that. I just explained it to you. When something happens in a lie that you've been defeated or you're good for nothing, what does God's word say about you? What does God's word say about the situation? Shout that out louder than what's coming to your mind or what other people are saying. That is how you can have progress in your walk with Christ, by putting God's word and being assured of what God's word says and standing on that. He says, knowing whom you have learned them, the things, the doctrine, God's truth, knowing what God has said, become Bible literate. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. There are so many people that don't pick up their Bible. They pick up their Bible, they bring it to church, they open it, they follow with the pastor, and then that's it. The next time they open up their Bible is the following week. Pick up your Bible daily and read it. Become Bible literate. Know what God's word says. It is logos. Know what God's word says. It's when it says, knowing whom you have learned them, the things, the doctrine of or God's truth, logos, it is God's word. Then there is rhema. It is what God says. You'll find that in John chapter 16, verse 63. Jesus says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You see, when we go to the flesh, when we look at other people, we profit nothing. When we go to God's word, when we learn it, we try to understand it, we apply it, we meditate on it, we think about it, we hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against God. When we do that, it profits us greatly. The words that Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that we hear from the flesh, they're nothing but death. We profit nothing. I'm not going to have time to go through this, but Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22, it's a good verse to know, to meditate on, to think about God's word. It brings health to all our flesh. But real quick, I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Again, Paul says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean, be ready in season and out of season? It suggests this truth: be available, be prepared, be alert. Not be lazy, not be a slacker, but be ready to respond to the issue at hand. You're going to trust God, trust the word, or you're going to trust the flesh. Again, you trust the flesh, you profit nothing. So he says, preach the word, be ready instant and in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. This is what the word of God tells us. All scripture is inspired by God and it profits us. So God's word being applied to our life helps us to be able to know why we need to pass this on, why we need to prepare to receive the baton from someone. You see, many believers in the church today are afraid of the ministry. They're afraid to do what God is calling them to do. You want to know why? I believe because it'll ask so much of them that they're not sure they can give it. This is a great demonstration of why the flesh profits you nothing. I'm not sure how many of you are applying this to your prayer. Lord, speak to me. Lord, show me what you have for me. I am glad the last several years we've been praying this prayer. God, call people into the ministry. We are having ministry leadership training classes. We are having people take ministerial courses. We have people taking them online, people going to the district office and taking ministry classes. We are just blessed in seeing God do that in the lives of people. Some of you have already taken online courses and have already been certified through certain Christian colleges. Great. That is awesome. But then there are some, I wonder, how many of you are applying this to your prayer? Lord, call me into the ministry. Lord, I will go where you want me to go. Lord, I will do what you want me to do. But I think the reason why people don't do that is because they're afraid God's going to ask too much of me. I'm going to have to surrender. I'm going to have to give this up. I'm going to have to give that up. Listen, don't allow your flesh to dictate. Don't allow those fears to dictate. Know what God has for you. Know what God's word says of you so that you can be able to say when those lies come, what God has for me is greater than what I could ever find in this world. Whatever I can find at my job, whatever I can find in any other accolade, God, you have what is best for me. That is what I will strive for. You see, Paul, just in these two passages of scripture that God didn't lead me anywhere else to. That's probably why I only have 2 points here. But that we are to be prepared to pass on, to mentor. But we are to be preparing ourselves to be mentored by someone. Because if that is going on, it continues to reciprocate. It continues to go on because we are humbling ourselves to say, Lord, teach me. Lord, I will go where you want me to go. Another excuse could be, well, God didn't call me. I'll just let the pastor handle it. It can't. Listen, on that cruise, it wasn't the cruise director and the captain that did everything. Everybody collectively. I don't even know how many times they probably had, you know, department meetings to encourage. All right, guys, we only got 3 days left. I know you're tired, but man, we need to go ahead and just pump it up and just, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. I don't know. Actually, I went into Walmart one time early in the morning. Not sure why, but I went to Walmart early in the morning. They have department little huddles. And they encourage one another in their little departments to do the greatest. I mean, I'm thinking, that is awesome. And this is for Walmart. What are we doing for the church, for the kingdom, for eternity? How many of you are either opening up your homes or opening up your schedule to meet with other people, just to pour into people? How many of you are making yourselves available? Listen, I just read that verse, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. I think in one version of the Bible, it says, he who makes himself friendly has many friends. Are you making yourself friendly? Are you making yourself available to have someone say, hey, would you love to get some cup of coffee? Hey, we have a men's fishing trip. Hey, we have a men's outing. Hey, we have a women's outing. By the way, women are going to the beach in a couple weeks. Look, make yourself available. Go to that. You cannot have an excuse and then say, I'm not growing in that church. But yet you're not coming to church faithfully. You're not coming to any Bible studies. You're not looking for any Bible studies. You're not coming to anything, any extracurricular things that are going on. And yet you can say, I'm not growing, but you're not making yourself available to receive the baton from anybody. We have to apply ourselves with what God's word says. And listen, I'm not just saying it. We're actually applying this ourselves. That's why. Mostly every Sunday night, with the exception of tonight, because kids start school, we got to get them in bed early. But almost every Sunday night, we open our house and say, hey, if anybody wants to come over and hang out, you can come over and hang out. Bring some snacks. Sometimes we play a card game, board game. We just sit around the table and just, you know, talk about things. Talk about issues in life. Pray for certain people that have certain prayer requests. It's like a Matthew party. If you want to know what the Matthew party is, look in the book of Matthew. Jesus goes to Matthew's house and they have an actual gathering, and people that are not Christians, that are not followers in Christ, are there too. But it's an opportunity to get together with the believers. Look, make yourself available for that. But you can't have an excuse. I just want to ask you guys to just bow your heads for just a couple of minutes. And I have a series of questions that I feel like the Lord wants me to ask. But I just want us to just not look around, not get our attention. But as I ask these questions, just listen to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Is your faith being passed on to others? What is the progress in that? What is actively going on in that? Are you making yourself available to God's word so that God's word can change you? Again, progress is a forward or onward movement as to an objective or to a goal, to advance. Are you just thinking that you'll do better? Are you just hoping that you'll do better? There must come a time where you have to be active and fulfill the work of the ministry to pass on your faith or to receive from others. We can't minister to this community with only a few. It will take all of us surrendered to Christ and to do our part. Preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist, that word, is a bringer of good tidings, a preacher of the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill, Strong's definition says, carry out fully, fully accomplish your ministry. Your service, commanded of God to proclaim and promote His truth among men.
If today you don't see there is progress in your walk, don't just think about changing. Don't just hope about changing. Just repeat a certain similar prayer like this. Father, let there be progress in my walk with you. Let there be progress in sharing my faith to others. Let there be progress in me receiving instruction and being mentored by others. Help me, Father, to learn of you. And help me, Father, to exhort and train and teach others as well. In Jesus' name, amen.